The conversation in this podcast is for informational purposes only. This content is not intended to be a substitute for professional advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your mental health professional or another qualified health provider with questions you may have regarding your condition. Never disregard professional advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard in this podcast. Welcome to another episode of Bench Talk. Today, I'm really excited to be talking with a therapist, Shayla Peterson. Hey, Shayla.
Hi, how are you?
I'm awesome. Shayla is a licensed clinical social worker, has her license in clinical social work, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Awesome. So our episode today, and if you guys notice, a lot of the topics that I've been talking about have been near and dear to my heart. The last episode, we talked about surviving the empty nest. I was going through that, still am transitioning. And to kind of round out the year, this holiday season, I thought it would be really great to talk about maintaining our mental health during the holiday season. And so for full transparency, Shayla and I had a mini session before we started recording because I was totally off schedule. So many things happened, right? It's real life. We all go through it, right? And I really wanted to have someone on, specifically Shayla, to come on and speak on this topic because there's so many aspects of, you know, maintaining your mental health. What does that mean? What does that look like? And it's different for many different people. It's not just this one thing where, you know, it's all about those who suffer from mental health issues. It's just in generally speaking, what do we need to do to survive the holidays? You know, the holidays are not always happy for everyone, right?
That's true. And
we make the assumption because of the Lifetime movies, because of the Hallmark movies, that it's all, you know, happy endings.
Right.
Happy endings for everyone. You know, sometimes I want to mentally get away and I'll watch those and I'm like, I know this is not real, right? At least not for me right now. But it's just really interesting. So Shayla, thank you for coming on. Thank you for joining us on Bench Talk. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Such a pleasure. I'm definitely excited about talking about, you know, maintaining your mental health during the holidays, because if we're starting now, we can come from a preventionist standpoint, right? So we don't have to wait until the like crap hits the fan.
That's how I do.
Right.
And be very reactive.
Right. So we can learn how to be responsive and also compassionate towards ourselves, which we kind of sometimes lack, you know?
Right.
Definitely thank you for having me and excited about sharing, you know, this information today.
Absolutely. Because I wanted to create a platform. And for those you guys know, and for those who are new to Bench Talk, it's, you know, we focus a lot on what happens in your life and in your career. It's not all career focused. You know, yes, JMCC, Jackie Mitchell Career Consulting, is about career consulting. But, you know, a lot of what I do in coaching is a lot of life coaching, you know, and Bench Talk is These are conversations that we should be having inside and outside of work with our girlfriends, you know, with women that we work with other professionals. What's on your mind? Because a lot of times we don't talk about these things, right? We keep it bottled up for whatever reason, whether it's shame, guilt, or what have you. We feel like we're alone. And I want to bring it out there that, yes, we should start having conversations with each other, helping each other, empowering each other, supporting each other, right? And as women, I think we take on so much.
Yes.
Right? And as add motherhood on top of that, mm-hmm. right? We take on so much. Add partnership on top of that, right? It's a lot. So in keeping, before we dive into our main topic, which I'm really super excited to dive into, in keeping with the theme of empowering women and listening to and hearing stories of different women from different backgrounds, I'd love to hear, Shayla, how you got started in your career. How'd you get to from, you know, thinking about going to college to where you are now as a therapist? What was your journey?
It seems like a very typical story, nothing extraordinary.
Okay. You know? Well, first time it may be, you never know.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I went for undergrad for psychology and I always knew I wanted to be a therapist.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I knew like I wanted to help people. If you talk to any of my friends, they'll go, oh, Shayla's going to have a conversation about how we need to do this and change this and how we're going to grow and empower. So I think that was something that was just always in me. And then when I look about like generational too, my grandmother worked in social service. My mom is very much a helper. She's the one who just kind of steps in. So I saw this already in me just from, you know, genes and environment, right?
Awesome.
And
right.
So I graduate from undergrad and, you know, I'm trying to find my job and I worked with this foster family agency for about a year or two before I went to graduate school and I was going to get a master's in counseling. Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, have you thought about social work? And I was just like, well, can I be a therapist doing that? She was like, yes. And
a lot said, of people don't know that though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so we really just, it's some of the same school of thoughts. Things are a little different. You know, we don't have time to get into all of that.
Right,
but really
right.
At the end of the day, we all went to graduate school, whether you have a master's in counseling, a mental health master's, mm-hmm. or, you know, the social work route. And then we all have clinical experience. So after we graduate, we go and get at least 3,000 hours minimum. That's right. The minimum pretty much for all states of clinical work. We all take an exam. And here it is, we're being therapists providing information to uh-huh. help the community. And then we can all help in different capacities.
Right.
So I know for me, my career started off working with children. So I worked in foster family agencies, the juvenile justice system.
Right.
And then, you know, once you grow up, you get married and all this other stuff, we start moving around. Then I went into a private practice group. And then I also do consulting now with seniors, the geriatric population.
Okay.
And then with my daughter getting older, being a military spouse, I realized I was juggling all these different things, right? Just like you were saying earlier, you know, being a being married, being a military spouse, having to find new friends every time you go somewhere, you know, work, you know, and I have, you know, a profession that thank goodness allows me to move around and still serve, volunteerism, you know, spirituality, going to church, raising a daughter, learning how to do second grade homework. No one told me it was going to be this hard now. And so I said, I know I'm not the only one. And I would run into women. We're all just kind of facing some of the same struggles, right? Same script, different cast kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so I said, and that's how control shift balance birth. Let me help my sisters. Let me help my other professional women. Let me empower them. Let me give them mental health tools, mental wellness, so they can grow and feel strong in that. Guess what? If I don't click off everything on my to-do list today, that it's okay. It'll be there tomorrow. And it'll still just be fine. It will be there tomorrow and it will be just fine. And that we can give ourselves that compassion for us to just keep going. So that's how control shift balance has birthed. The good thing is I get to serve, you know, women in South Carolina. That's because I'm licensed, right? So you want to make sure that your therapist is licensed in the state that you live in. Also North Carolina and Tennessee. So I feel so blessed to be able to serve women in three different states at this point.
Awesome. Awesome. I thought you were in Florida?
Yes. So, but that one's on military hold. Oh, so by the end of the year, it should be back into open. I just have to fill out some paperwork. Yep.
Let me know when it's.
I will. And I know you're based out of Florida. So I know a lot of you. I will let you know. By 2020, it should be up and running.
I remember.
Yes.
We laugh about it. But no, seriously, I am a huge proponent of taking care of yourself mentally. Yes. You know, and it's no secret. I have stated this before. I had been in therapy. I had my kids in therapy at one point or the other. You know, it's good. It's not a bad thing. You know, we all sometimes need that other ear or that, you know, someone else to help, you know, to talk to help kind of put things in perspective for us to work through our stuff sometimes, you know, and it doesn't have to be, you know, this big, heavy thing. It could be anything, you know, it could be anything. Right. And I think that's kind of a good segue into our topic. But before we do that, I'm So sorry, I neglected to mention, but you did, Shayla. Shayla is the founder of Control Shift Balance, right?
Yes.
And so near the end of the podcast, we're going to talk a little bit more about that and how people could get in touch with you and all your social handles and all of that. But you are an entrepreneur. Yes,
very much so.
So you are living that life as well. Yes. On top of everything
else. Right, I know, right. One more thing to balance it. Let me throw this into the speech as well.
We do it.
If not, right? We will, right?
Exactly. And, you know, having the personality where you want to help, right? Where you want to help people and just being in that space, you know, for you, that was just a natural progression, it sounds.
Yeah, it really was. Like I said, generational and then information, education. Right. It's just natural for me to, you know, show up and be present. If it's something that's right aligned with my goals, I'm for it, you know, right. Or if it's something that's been put on my heart, I'm going to do it, you know, right. And I'm going to do it with excellence.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So let's jump in to our topic, maintaining mental health during the holidays. So this podcast will be live right before the holiday season and obviously available on replay. And, you know, it's not just the holiday season, but we will focus on the holiday season, specifically women as well. We're recording right before, you know, Thanksgiving. So we're going into this time of year where for a lot of people, I'm going to take the other side of it. For a lot of people, it's not very happy, mm-hmm. right? And so let's talk about that, Shayla. Let's talk about the different aspects of, you know, what it may look like for different people and what we can do about that.
Yeah. And so you make a really good point when you talk about it's just not happy for everyone. And mm-hmm. then even if it is happy, it can just really get overwhelming, mm-hmm. right? We have events going on. There's more money going out. So there's so many different things. So some of the factors that came up when I was just doing a little bit more research, so it's about six of them. And mm-hmm. so one is things that contribute to depression and anxiety during this time, financial burdens, right? Yeah. Spending more money, creating that budget, whatever it is, it's still more than throughout the year, right?
Exactly.
The increased events, mm-hmm. loss of your downtime, because now there's a work event on this day, there's right. a networking event, the kids have a Christmas program, right. and you got to go over to such and such how programs, right? You know, all
projects.
These
projects,
expectations, right? Yeah. I have to be on. Oh, I have to do my hair because I have to go to yeah. this event. I need to wear this dress, yeah. all of these different things, family gatherings. Are we ready to see the cousins? I don't know, right? So all of those different things. And then also the one too that I think is really tough is coping with loss.
Yes.
Right? We know that the holidays change over time. How it was maybe 10 years ago, it might not be that way anymore.
Exactly.
So even when we talk about loss, it's not just losing someone. It could have been downsizing the house.
Right.
It could have been moving to another city, being right. at a different job. So all of those different things. So those are like the top six that people kind of just experience depression and anxiety with during the holiday times.
Right.
What I realize is that if we make efforts to kind of simplify our life, we can decrease some of those symptoms that come up or that worry or feeling overwhelmed or feeling bummed out. Mm-hmm. So we can improve our mental wellness during this time and not looking at it as so much of a struggle.
I'm going to play devil's advocate because I mm-hmm. talk to a lot of women who they're like this
yeah.
and it's go, 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 me being one of them. But, I know when to pull back. I know when to kind of lay low a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I talk to a lot of women who just don't see how mm-hmm. to simplify. They're saying, oh, no, I can't because of this, you know, because mm-hmm. of that. And this person is relying on me for this. And I got to do that. And I got to do this. And from my vantage point and the way that I work with them, it's more of learning and teaching them how to delegate. Because mm-hmm. you don't have to be, you can't be everywhere, all, you know, at the same time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to realize you can't be everything to everybody at the same time. Right? Mm-hmm. So talk to the woman who's in that overwhelm and feels like, it's just me. I have to do it, right?
Yeah. So one, if you're already coming with, I call it unrealistic expectations, like this has to be the most wonderful Christmas ever, or the most wonderful Kwanzaa, the most wonderful Hanukkah ever, whatever it might be, if it has to be that, you've already lost the battle in a sense, right? Yeah. Because the expectations that we're putting on ourselves, we can't. So first thing is that I would talk about just being mindful, staying in that moment, right? Being present.
Yeah.
Right. Just being in that space, opposed to thinking about all the presents,
right.
Slowing down, enjoying the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So when you're there, actually enjoy just trying to have a meaningful conversation with someone, you know, sitting there. So just slowing the whole process down, opposed to, I just got to get through it. And I think that's what kind of happens with the holidays. I'm just trying to get through it. Oh, I just need to go to this event. But what if we really enjoyed that event? Like, okay, I'm going to go. I'm going to reach out and say hello to some people.
Right.
When I go to this play for my child, I'm going to actually say hello to the kids, mom, in the class, any of those things, but doing that. So another one is allow yourself to feel your emotions. Whatever you're feeling, like, let them come and go. Some days are going to be better than others, and you can actually feel that. It's okay if you're not feeling really great that day. Mm-hmm. Allow it to come and then allow it to go as well. Our emotions are pretty fluid.
So I want to talk about that because sometimes people, and again, I'm going to kind of play the devil's advocate.
Yeah.
again, sometimes there are emotions that you just don't want to feel. Like if you're talking to someone that is typically, you know, they put things under the rug. They, you know, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to feel that. So I'm going to do this other thing so I don't feel that, or I'll distract myself so I don't feel that. Like, I truly believe, I'm not a therapist by any means, but I truly believe that it will manifest itself in other ways.
I was just going to say that. So if you're pushing it down, it's going to show up. And when we're pushing something down and it shows up, I mean, I think about I can't even think of the word, so I'm going to just leave that alone. But just imagine, it's just going to explode, the soda, right? It's just going to come on out. So it's best to kind of let those feelings come.
Mm-hmm.
Allow yourself to experience that, to feel it, and then bring yourself right back in when you're ready. So if you're at an event, someone makes you upset or you get a little sad about that, okay, go take your minute to allow yourself powder your nose and come back out and enjoy the moment, because we can also miss the whole experience because we're stuck right there or we're trying to suppress it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So, just doing that. Another one is letting go of the shoulds.
Yeah.
You know, oh, it should be this way. It ought to be like this. It needs to be that way. That takes away from it. We're not going to enjoy that. It's going to be hard to, not that we're not going to enjoy, it's going to be really hard to enjoy the experience if we're stuck on the shoulds.
Absolutely. That was me. That's me at Thanksgiving, or used to be.
Yeah.
I'm going to try not for that to be that way this year. For me, Thanksgiving was making sure it should be nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I put this huge expectation on myself, and I don't let anyone help.
Mm.
You know, I'm
cooking
everything. That
doesn't fall in line with your delegations.
It doesn't. I am so good helping other people, right? Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to myself, it's like, hello, you just told that person to do this thing, but it's hard for you to do it. I'm still learning. I'm a work in progress. I'm totally a work in progress. You know, I'm learning to let things go and to delegate. But I used to be that person. And that's probably why, you know, if I may say so, I'm that much more compassionate and empathetic with people who are going through this, because I see it. You know, I know what it looks like. I know what it feels like, so I can speak to it a little bit more. But used to be that person that, when dinner was served and when dinner was ready, I couldn't even eat. I couldn't even enjoy it because I'm running around making sure everyone is okay. And, you know, this has to be perfect. And oh my goodness, don't cut the turkey that way. Cut it this way.
And you miss out on the memory making because you're in the kitchen. Everybody's sitting in the living room watching TV, right? And so I heard you say, look, I'm going to get therapeutic for a minute. I heard you say that you can, you know, almost empathize with the other people and be feel compassionate for them. But the last part I want to say too with this one is just like, we have to be compassionate with ourselves. Absolutely. We have to be kind
learning
to ourselves. So it's like, well, if we don't have turkey, ham, and roast, it's okay. We're going to have one meat this year.
That's my menu.
See, no, we've cut down to one meat around here. One meat. Honey baked ham. I don't even make it myself. I go buy it.
I just had that conversation. I'm not buying honey baked because I know how to make a ham and my ham tastes better. And I'm like, what are you doing, Jackie? Mm-hmm. Like, nobody cares. Because really what it boils down to is the togetherness of family.
Yes.
And I know specifically for my situation, we have aging parents, you know, and to just be thankful that they're still here and can celebrate with us and sit at the table with us and share in those memories, that's better or something more to focus on than a ham. Mm-hmm.
Right. Now you have more time to spend with them, which goes back to being more present.
Absolutely.
Being more in the moment. So when we talk about that mindfulness for the woman who has so many different things that they need to take care of that day, we don't have to follow. If mom used to make lavish dinners and have dinner parties with everyone there and the dishes match, guess what? We're probably just going to have tea and cookies, and that's okay. Right? Because now you started this new tradition that works for you. And guess what? When everyone's having tea and cookies, you're not stressed fixing everyone's plate or doing all this stuff. Here's a nice little setup.
Right.
Matter of fact, everybody bring a dozen cookies and we'll have a cookie swap. Right. I'll take care of the tea. So now we still foster being connected with other people. We're not as stressed because I didn't cook all day.
Right.
I just baked some cookies for about an hour before you guys got here.
Right.
Right. So we just kind of reframe.
Absolutely. Reframing and I'm going to generalize here a little bit, right? Bear with me on this one. Coming from a Caribbean background, I tend to say, and I think some of my listeners who are from the same background will say, you know, what our grandmother did. And, you know, if God forbid, if our grandmother is not here with us, mine in particular, or two, Rachel or Mavis, they'd be rolling around in their grave if they knew I was not making this dish, or if they knew I wasn't, you know? Sometimes we have that thought, right?
Yeah.
The tradition has to be carried on. The tradition has to be carried on. What I'm learning slowly is that we have to create our own traditions. Yes. And I think you said it perfectly, what works for you. Mm-hmm. You have to do what works for you and, you know, really, dare I say selfishly, kind of put yourself first there, you know, what will work for you? What will keep you sane? What will help you? And not worry about what other people are thinking or what they may say. This is what you've created, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Maintaining your sanity. So if you miss out on making that meal this holiday, it's okay. Maybe the way you still keep it going is I have this recipe written down so my children will be able to make it if they would like to for a holiday tradition. Or I'll do it every other year. I'll alternate. Right. If there's 10 things that I have to make, I'm just going to do 5 and I'll do the other 5 next year.
Right.
Or if there's someone else in the family, so which kind of goes into, it's okay to ask for help. So if there's other people in the family who can do it, hey, can you make Big Mama's, you know, favorite, you know, recipe with the greens and how she makes them? Or can you make the peas and rice? What, you know, it's okay to ask for help opposed to doing it all yourself. Everyone's eating and you're not enjoying it all in the name of, I want to keep tradition. That makes no sense. And it doesn't help our mental health because how are you going to feel afterwards?
Right. And not only that too, what I started really realizing and thinking, because I have a daughter, what am I teaching her? What am I teaching? Not even just my daughter. What am I teaching my children? You know, they're always watching, no matter what age, they are always watching. Mm-hmm. Right. So what are you teaching them?
Exactly. Right? And what a great, just like a way to put everything back into perspective. Mm-hmm. Those folks who are watching me, what are they really seeing?
Right.
So what are my kids seeing? What do they see when I look a hot mess at right. the table while everybody else is still put together?
Right. Like, that's not normal. That shouldn't be the norm for them. Because I wonder, like, am I... Because I saw my mom do it. I saw my grandmother do it. I see my aunts do it. I see, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's like, do we really need to do this? Like, what are we, for what? Yeah. Right?
As and then how much food are you throwing away at the end of the week? See, we're not going to get on that. So, wasteful. So definitely, it makes really sense. Slowing down, practicing, enjoying the process, recruiting help. Like you're saying, delegating, reach out, right? Okay, who can help me? Who can I say bring just one dish?
Right.
Take turns hosting. You don't always have to be the host. If it's a family thing, it doesn't matter. I was good. It doesn't matter the size of the house. We coming over there. You know, it doesn't matter. It'll be enough. We'll make it work. We'll bring some chairs. You know, make it to where it works for everyone. Who's going to be on cleanup duty? We can talk about those things before the night ends. Okay. Yeah. If someone doesn't cook, they can be in charge of putting dishes in the dishwasher.
Right.
Then that helps. So then at the end of the day on Friday, you're not exhausted because on Thursday you cooked everything, or you have to go to work the day after Christmas and you're exhausted because of all of those things. If we're exhausted, we should be exhausted because we're just filled with so much love from our friends and family, not from all of those things that we're doing just to keep it in the sake of tradition. We want to boost up our mental health, our wellness, not during this time.
Can you imagine? And as you're talking, I'm thinking about, you know, like the women in my family, specifically women, because, you know, traditionally in my family, it's a lot of this falls on the woman, right? Mm-hmm. And what was their mental state in doing all of this? Because if I'm feeling overwhelmed, I couldn't imagine. Could not imagine with the advancement in technology that we have with certain appliances, right? That we have now. Could you imagine? Right?
No. Oh no. Yeah, maybe like not cooking with air, just being in the kitchen all night. This is all came into my mind before. And I go, oh, they'll be, well, we're not going to Shayla's because she didn't. But then we're talking about expectations and tradition, you know, but now we're in an age where we have access to pretty much any book that we want to read, any podcast. Yeah. Your therapist is online, right? So there's no reason why you can't even connect with someone who's going to help you. Your coaches are virtual.
Yeah.
You know, friends, we can FaceTime, we can call them. There's no longer long distance. Remember, you had to have a long distance plan to call someone on the phone. Everyone has a cell phone. So there's really no excuse for us not to get the help or the support. We just have to make that effort. Anything that we have questions about, information is right there at our fingertips.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's shift a little bit. Mm-hmm. Did you get through all six? You got through all six.
Yes, I got through all six. Yeah, those are that. So, which kind of preps, you know, for what people are really struggling with.
Yeah.
But what we can go into is if anyone is in therapy, I think this is the number one thing, is if you are in therapy during this time, stay in it during the holiday times.
Yes.
I would already schedule your sessions with your therapist already, because one, there's going to be feelings that are going to come up. There's going to be things that are happening. And now you know that if your session is on Monday at 10 o'clock, you know every Monday at 10 o'clock, you can speak with your therapist and talk about those feelings that are coming up and provide that safe place, that non-judgmental area for you that you can talk about the feelings of loss or that financial burden. And they can provide you with tools and skills and coping tools for you to deal during that time.
Right. I think in our pre-conversation, we kind of talked about that's the time where I think you said you see people pulling away from therapy and just kind of staying with themselves, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, people tend to isolate and then they're just, things are busy, right? Your schedule picks up. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say if you schedule it now, you already know that it's on your calendar.
Right.
But yeah, so if you're already in therapy and if you're thinking about it, it's a good time because things may come up and you already have that in place where you can talk about, you know, discussing about your feelings of depression or anxiety that are coming up with the holidays that are approaching.
So what about the people, women, who are not with family, or, you know, specifically holidays is not a good time for them, right? Yes. And everything around them is just all cheery and happy. And what do you say to that person?
First thing I would say is volunteering is a great way to shift the focus off of you, right? Yeah. So volunteering is great. Go feed the homeless, go volunteer, you know, put that on a regular schedule. Maybe that's something you do on Thanksgiving,
right?
Something, because when we help other people in our time, if we have time to do that, that will kind of take the focus off of us.
Right.
So the next thing is too, once again, if you're not in therapy, go talk to a therapist about your feelings. Connect with someone you can, you know, have a conversation with about the things that you're struggling with.
Right.
Then two, create your own tradition. It doesn't have to be about the holidays, right?
Right.
Do something that's going to work for you during that time. Like people talk about Friendsgiving, you know, they connect mm-hmm. with friends during that time. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're making something and you're handing that out to some of your friends at work. And it doesn't have to say what holiday you're celebrating. You're like, I'm just doing this because it's the end of the year and I wanted to spread some joy.
That's a good idea. I like that. I like that.
So yeah.
What about those who are in it and holiday? How can we be sympathetic, empathetic to others who, you know, let's say there's all of this stuff going on at work? I know sometimes for me, even though, like, for me, I celebrate Christmas, it's a huge holiday for me. Like, it is mm-hmm. a big deal for me. Just the spirit of it, right? And what it stands for. And I know in different places that I've worked in, holiday season was very busy with activities, this, that, or the other. And for me personally, even though I love the holiday, I didn't necessarily, I don't know if I should be saying it, I didn't necessarily want to participate in work events.
Got it. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just was like, I don't want to, you know, it's not that I don't love the holidays, but I don't want to participate. And this is maybe a little bit different, but participate in it at work. You know, it wasn't fun for me at work. And then everybody mm-hmm. is doing all this fun stuff and you see, and I'm like, okay, you know, let me pretend, you know what I mean? Because I think there are a lot of people out there that are like that, whether they celebrate or not. They may not necessarily want to participate in all of these work events. And sometimes I'm like, should we even have that at work? Because sometimes to me, it seems, you know, it's not sympathetic to everyone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely understand that. And I know we see a shift in a lot of corporate jobs where we'll say holiday celebration is no longer a Christmas celebration, which, hey, that works because that incorporates, you know, everyone. Mm-hmm. But what I've learned about, just like, if you don't want to attend something, I'd rather someone says no than say yes and then have resentment.
Yeah.
Or they're there and they're not really there. That's not going to feel good. If we're talking about getting through the, you know, the holidays and taking care of our mental health and increasing our well-being, if we're saying yes to all these events, mm-hmm. we're going, we have one on Monday, we got bacon cookies on Tuesday, we got, you know, Wednesday, we're creating wreaths, and then Thursday, you're going to be exhausted. There's no break. There's no downtime. So it's okay to say no to preserve your sanity mm-hmm. because that's a win for your mental well-being.
Got it.
So it's okay. You say, oh, I'm politely declining, or I can't make it, but I can bring some cookies. You see, these cookies keep showing up. We can bake those and just bring them. I can bring the punch. You can always offer something else. And I'm really big on that. If I can't attend an event or if I can't show up, guess what? I can bring this.
Right.
You know, I won't be able to stay long. I'm going to drop that off. Or can I bring it to you before? Is
Got
that
it.
Okay?
Got it.
And how else can I still celebrate? Mm-hmm. Okay. It's okay.
It's okay to say no.
Yeah. It's no different from when, you know, someone has something on the other side of town on a work day. Mm-hmm. You're not going to make it on time. Why would we try to stress ourselves driving an hour in traffic, getting the kids, putting them in the car,
right.
whatever it is, for an event that we're going to be late to and we're going to be fussing or anxiety is high. So no, I won't be able to make it, but I'm going to stop by on Sunday evening and drop off this so you can have that at your event. Is that okay?
Yeah. Yeah. We have to start to learn to really put ourselves first. I think it kind of boils down to that. It boils down to that, putting yourself first. And for those who are not comfortable with that, there may be many different reasons why, right? Yeah. But generally speaking, in addition to what you have already said, but generally speaking, if you're not there yet, what are some really simple things to do to help get you there, to help get you to know, you know, sorry, respectfully, I decline, or, you know, just moving, shifting your focus from all of that holiday stuff to something else that's good for you?
If you schedule out your holiday plans already, right? Mm-hmm. So we've already talked about going to therapy if you haven't, or if you want to, put in that already on schedule. If you have your appointment with your coaches, keeping those appointments.
Right.
So then also scheduling your downtime when we talk about scheduling. So if there's an event every weekend, you on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you might say, well, Saturday, we're not going to do events. So we'll do Friday, take a break on Saturday and be home and enjoy our home. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday we'll do something. So mm-hmm. we're scheduling it already out. So then when someone says, hey, are you coming? You go, no, we already have plans. They don't need to know that your plans is for you to be one with your couch.
I love it.
Right? A lot of it is that planning. I think a lot of times when our schedules are too full, we mm-hmm. didn't schedule our downtime. We didn't right. schedule that. And so that kind of falls into that self-care part, right? And it's so important that we boost our self-care during this season, because mm-hmm. it's really when we kind of forget about it. Once again, more events going on, right. Spending more money, eating more food, mm-hmm. all of these different things. So if we're scheduling, we're planning out things, then when someone says, I'm sorry, we have plans, and then you may offer, can I bring some cookies?
Cookies is
and it can bring whatever it is that you make. You might make brownies, whatever. You might make sandwiches. Some people make really good sandwiches on that Hawaiian roll. Whatever it might be, you right. can offer to do something else, opposed to just being at an event for 3 or 4 hours that right. you really know that your body needs that downtime. Your mind needs that downtime, and that's okay.
I want to jump into something really quickly with moms, right? Mm-hmm. With school age children. I think sometimes schools are, dare I say, insensitive to the time, to our time, mm-hmm. right? They'll have end of year party, because they don't really call it holiday or Christmas or whatever. Yeah. And just different events, right? Mm-hmm. And send home this event calendar and expectations of typically the mom to do these things or to be present for these things. And just, you know, it kind of goes back into what you were talking about with the overwhelm and declining. But sometimes the guilt that we feel in declining or not participating in a school event because there is still so much, and then prioritizing what you can do and what you can't do. Let's talk about that a little bit, because I think there's a lot of mom guilt, especially around the holidays, especially when it comes to our kids having things at school and participating when you have to work. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you do? Like, how do we juggle, or should we even juggle that?
You know, a lot of parents, we have to juggle that. And so they may look for a volunteer to come for the first half of the day from breakfast until lunch. Mm-hmm. You might say, I can do from 10 to 11. Once again, it's getting in control of your schedule. I can't do 3 hours, but mm-hmm. I can be there from 8 to 9. Mm-hmm. And so that's how that one comes into play. It's figuring out, I can't do all of it, but I can do some because I want to be here and I want to support, you know, my child and support the classroom. And then you can always ask, how can I help behind the scenes? You might not be the mom that shows up and pass out the gifts to the kids or cut up the cake, but you can be the behind the scenes mom. Hey, I can put together some little trinkets, a little mm-hmm. gift bag for them. Is that okay? How many kids do you have in a class? 22. Right. All right, I'm going to drop those off Monday morning. They'll be in Junior's backpack.
That's a good idea.
do some, because then you can do that on your own time. Mm-hmm. And then now if you have clients at 8, 9, and 10, and you weren't able to go to the Christmas, the end of the year celebration in the classroom, now I've contribute by doing this.
That makes sense. The thing that, as you're talking, the thing that I think about one time with my son, he looked at me, he was like, you can't come. And I'm like, oh my gosh, kill me right now. Yeah. But I did this. But for kids, they don't necessarily process the, you're not being there, even though if you do something behind the scenes, they'd like to see you there. So that kind of guilt, like how...
The mom guilt is real. That one is a tough one. And so what I do is, everything is an opportunity for a conversation and explanation, right? Mm-hmm. So talking to them about the type of job that, you know, mom has, one, about the love that mom has for you or dad, whatever it might be, and that, you know, there's just a scheduling conflict. And you can explain to them how their friends might have a party at the same time, and you may only have to choose one at that time. Right. And it might not be that it's the favorite friend or not.
We have
to make decisions. And so mom decided that I'm going to do this and you're going to bring it because this represents our family. This is what it is. So it's using that time to educate them and explain to them, because now we're modeling what we want them to do when they get older. Because do we want them to carry down some of the same stuff that we've been taught or that we've been practicing, feeling overwhelmed, trying to do it all? And so even when we talk about being balanced, I go, yeah, it's really no such thing. We just know that something's going to take a little bit more energy or our time at one point, and next time it'll be something else.
Right.
And that's how that's going to go.
Right.
Use that, because I've had it. I experienced it with my daughter. I was there volunteering a couple of weeks ago for their fun run, and I told her I was going to stay for their lunch, and something came up. It was an emergency, and I cut in, and I said, hey, look, I'm not going to stay for lunch. I said, but we can go to dinner tonight when I pick you up from school, and we can go eat wherever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh, cool. And she had already picked out her place, and she was okay with that. So a lot of times the guilt is something that we made up in our mind. Children are very resilient. And no, I'm not saying anytime you say, you know, don't make it a habit of always saying no.
Right.
But if we provide an explanation and we share with them what's going on, that they get it on their level.
Right.
That
right.
It's okay.
Right. And not just say, well, you like to eat, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I got to work so you can eat. What do you want to do? You want to starve? You know, that's not going to work. And and then it's going to be guilt and shame. And then we're going to be upset about it. I don't think that's going to help anybody's mental health.
Oh my goodness.
But no, definitely a good question. And I hope that I was able to answer that that people felt that that was helpful and that they can utilize that tool when talking with their children.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I just think about how we grew up, like they weren't maybe not that sympathetic to the fact that children are people too.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
well, it's very different. We seen and not heard, right? When we talk about growing up, if your parent couldn't make it, they just couldn't make it. Maybe there was a substitute that was there, like another family member. And then you become older and you just kind of get it too. But then, you know, they did other things with you when you got home. It was dinner that you guys ate together, or maybe you guys went and had fun over the weekend.
Right.
So you talk about what compromise, you know, looks like. And then you want to somehow, even though we said there's really no balance, something's going to take a little more energy than the other, but that you're aware of that so you can work on that later.
Right. Yeah. So let's recap, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit about just holiday, generally speaking, you know, if the holidays is not such a pleasant time for you, what are some of the things that you can do to help get you through the holiday season?
Okay. So I think we kind of talked about, you know, creating your own traditions, being mindful, kind of taking that expectation away.
Right,
of that everything has to be wonderful,
right?
Just kind of going with the flow, boosting our self-care.
Yeah.
Right. We want to make sure that we're doing that, scheduling that. Yes. Scheduling that downtime doing some extra, you know, if you're one who likes a hot bath, put that on a schedule every day, mm-hmm. right? That at the end of the night, there's a hot bath. If you like apple cider, you know, making sure you're drinking the warm apple cider in the evening, right. something that just kind of refuels you. If you can, take a quick nap on those days where you're trying to manage all the events, mm-hmm. take a nice little time nap. Mm-hmm. Right. All right. I'm gonna just lay down for about 30 minutes. Or are you gonna actually sit down, not ripping right. and running all day long?
Right. Right.
So boosting the self care, and I think one of them is really just kind of maintaining, just being realistic about what we can do and what we can't do.
Right.
Not over scheduling. Not saying yes to two events at the same time. Mm-hmm. Right. Being realistic about it. I think a lot of the stress also we put on ourselves.
Yes.
So we can, you know, become aware of that.
I'm thinking about the woman who is, but I was going to say alone, but I'm not going to use that, mm-hmm. by herself, mm-hmm. on specific days when other people are celebrating, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes loneliness takes over and their calendar isn't full, you know? Yeah. If their calendar isn't full and they're on that side of the spectrum, like what are some of the things that they can do? You know, I think you talked about some of it, but specific to mm-hmm. that person.
So that person, once again, I think going back to volunteering, yeah. doing something for someone else, also connecting with friends, if they're in a city, you know, maybe it was someone that they were just really casual friends with, ask them to go out, you know, mm-hmm. ask them yeah. to go for a cup of coffee, catch up on some reading right. that right. you enjoy, stay away from things that are going to bring you down, right? That's so if a Hallmark part. Movie yeah. is going to trigger you, guess what? We're not watching that movie. It's only right. so many I can watch in a day, right? It's only right. so
but much I can be in fantasy world. Too, yes. Right? You have to identify your triggers mm-hmm. and really stay away from them as much yes. as possible. Avoid it as much as possible, right?
Exactly. So knowing what your triggers are, not going into that hole. If you know that being alone too long is going to be a trigger for you during this time, get out.
Yeah.
Right. Go and do something different. Once again, going and volunteering, maybe going to pick up something for someone else. There's a lot of things where there's the trees and you can take something off and buy something for some kids.
Yes.
You know, to buy a toy that they want. I know I work with some assisted living communities. They're always looking for someone to buy some needs for the seniors that are there. So right. once again, taking it, you know, off yourself, and that can be helpful.
Awesome. Awesome. This yeah. was really, really good. A lot of good gems that you have dropped for yeah. us. Absolutely. Because like we said, it really boils down to the overarching is self-care.
It you really know? Is. It really is.
Self-care. What is it that you can do for you to help get you through? Whether you're a mom, you know, whether you're a single person, a partner without children, you yeah. know what I mean? It doesn't matter. Just as long as you do the things that help you to feel better and stay away from it. Like generally speaking, do the things that feel good.
Not yes. If it feels good, you know, go in that direction. And if it doesn't, and then schedule everything else around there.
Right.
Right. And so, and even when we're talking about things that make us feel good, and this is kind of just, it's in the same direction, but a little different, mm-hmm. is if we're drinking for comfort, be careful mm-hmm. about that. Right. So we also, I'd be doing a disservice if I didn't bring right. that up. Right? Right. So some of the events may have, you know, alcoholic beverages, you know, being careful about that if we're not in a good space or just in moderation anyway.
Absolutely.
Right. So thinking about that during this time of year. Absolutely. So I did want to bring that up. Yes. And planning ahead, even with our eating, our healthy habits, right?
Because it's hard.
Yeah, that one is hard. So tips for that, right? Eating a snack right before, right?
Yeah.
Eating our healthy snack right before, making sure that if we're ones who work out, that we're still doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure if we typically don't get enough sleep, that we do get enough sleep.
Right.
So 6
right.
hours is enough for you. Make sure that you're getting your 6 hours because all those things are tied together. Us getting yeah. enough sleep, exercising, eating healthy. So all of those things. So if we have some good habits in place, trying to maintain those, make more of an effort during this time. Once again, putting it on schedule. I'm going to wake up just a little bit early so I could, you know, make sure that I have some breakfast and my coffee so I can get through the day until lunchtime.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so, so much. I want to shift into a little bit for you to talk about your practice.
Yeah.
Control, shift, balance. I love the name. Talk to us about that. Talk to us about what that means for you.
Yeah. So control, shift, balance, mental wellness. That's part of the extra long name, but it is an online therapy practice. And so it was birthed because, like I said, there's women who are working, maybe raising children, they're a partner, they may be caregivers, and they have demanding schedules. And what I realized too is that sometimes they just can't get to a therapy office.
Right?
It's hard to say, well, let me come before work because I have to be at work at 9. Now I have to go to an 8 o'clock session, might not work. Right. Or that I get off at 5, but I'm in traffic for an hour. So created this online practice to where I can help women with who are feeling overwhelmed, who've been wearing the superwoman cape or Superman cape, whatever it may be, and they're trying to do it all, and they're exhausted. We're exhausted, and we're looking for tools, something different. Anxiety is high.
Yeah.
Our depression is there, and the thing about it, sometimes we don't recognize it because we're not educated on what that looks like.
Right.
And so we're operating out of this space of, I got to do it all, or we're being, let's say, perfectionists, or we have imposter syndrome that's showing up that kind of paralyzes us from even doing the things that we want to do.
Right.
We might be at a job that we've been for years because we're scared to make that move to do something else. And so those are the women that have been getting attracted to control, shift, balance, because they're like, okay, what's in my control? What's out of my control, right? Mm-hmm. So we can focus on what we can control. Those other stuff we can't.
Right.
How can I shift my thinking? And then how can I find balance? What does that look like for me right now? And so that's what control, shift, balance, mental wellness is all about. And I'm really excited about serving the women that I serve and any other women that I will continue to serve in the future. So
that's awesome. And tell us again the states that you are licensed in?
Yes. So I am licensed in South Carolina, and I'm licensed in North Carolina and in Tennessee. And by the end of the year, it'll be back in Florida again, which I will be, I'll be residing there in about 3 years. We have 3 more years to retirement and I will be there. So definitely we'll look forward to us meeting in person.
Absolutely. Or maybe even before that.
Yes, definitely.
So social media handles, because I know, first of all, I love your Instagram. Your website is awesome as well. So how can we get in touch with you?
All right. So for Instagram, that is control, shift, balance. So that's CTRL, shift, balance. And so that'll take you right to my Instagram. It's also the same thing for Facebook. Mm-hmm. And then if you are online, that is www and then control CTRL shiftbalance.com. And then if you want to email me, it's info@ controlshiftbalance.com. And I look forward to connecting with you. If you just have a question regarding therapists in your area, I can find one. If you're interested about what therapy may look like, any questions, I'm here to help. I want to direct people to where they can get the best clinician that they need to help them in this time.
Absolutely. And what we will do is definitely put all of your social media handles in the show notes. So everyone can go ahead and follow Shayla. She has an awesome Instagram account. And again, like, DM you if you have questions, if we have, you know, if they have questions or anything like that. This was really, really good. I so appreciate you coming on and talking about this, because it's a topic that I think some people don't want to touch.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people are just suffering in silence, right?
Absolutely.
And then once again, they're suppressing, and then we talk about blowing up. So that preventionist standpoint, addressing those things before, then we don't have to get to that point, and we can actually get to a place where we're creating what the holidays are for us, and we can enjoy them.
One last thing before we go, because I thought about this, and what would be the best way to handle, because we're talking about being empathetic to people and what have you, and if you have a good girlfriend that you want to reach out to, right, mm-hmm. who may be going through the holiday depression or anxiety or what have you, mm-hmm. Is it good to ask, how are you? Or is there a better way to ask that so that you can get an honest response, you know, to kind of help them out if you can, you know what I mean? Because sometimes you ask someone, how are they? And they're like, fine. And that's the end of, you know what I mean?
It's the fake fine. Like, girl, I'm good. Right. And you know, inside they're not good. But yeah. Then I think about, always go, let's turn it around. If I was going through something and I really didn't know who I could reach out to or who would I talk to, how would I want someone to approach me? You know, would I really want them to say like, hey girl, you good? I'm just going to say I'm good. Right. But if they say, hey, let's go out for coffee or let's schedule a time where we can talk on the phone. And it can just be you having that conversation with them. Mm-hmm. That may have been a conversation they haven't had with anyone in a long time. They're just probably going through the motions, going to work, coming home, going home, coming to work. And so for you to be able to reach out to them and say, let's go have coffee, let's have cookies, or just come over. Hey, like, I'm going to watch this movie that pulled up. You think you'll be interested in watching this with me? Mm-hmm. Or come have lunch with me? Something along that line to get them connected, then have the conversations. Perfect. Or get connected first. So we want to connect. And so let this be, you know, a tool too while we're doing the holidays. If you know someone is going through it, you know, connect, have those conversations. Let them know, you know, that there are resources or that you are there for them and that they can reach out to you. Because sometimes when people need help, they're not asking for it. They're not going to say, hey, I need help. Yeah. So be able to connect and then make that conversation.
That was awesome. I'm glad I asked you that, honestly, because I think a lot of us are in that situation where we have girlfriends and we ask, you know, we know what we're going to get when we say, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, and I was just reading an article the other day, a better way to ask, how are you, without asking, how are you? Right. Yeah. So that you can elicit more than a one word response that may not necessarily be correct. Right.
Mm-hmm. So exactly.
This was awesome. Thank you so much, Shayla. I really appreciate you being on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed our conversation and our discussion about mental health for the holidays.
Right. And one last thing that I would love to say is that, you know, there's no shame. There's no, you know, we need to try to remove the stigma of what mental health looks like, because it looks different for different people. Again, I'm not a therapist, but it's what I see, right? It looks different for different people, and therapy is not a bad word.
No, it's not. And we don't have to wait until, and I said it before, we don't have to wait until the crap hits the fan. We don't have to wait until there's necessarily a problem for you to go. You can go just because you want more coping skills in an area. You want to learn more about yourself. You want to know how your childhood has now affected your adulthood. And it doesn't have to be that you had a childhood that you didn't enjoy. Mm-hmm. It just might be that, or you're having some difficulties at work, or you want to learn how to make friends. All of those things can be handled in your therapy session, and it'll be therapeutic. And your therapist is there waiting to provide you with these tools. That's what they're there for. They want to help. So nope, it's not a bad word. We're breaking down the stigma. There's nothing wrong with diagnosis and learning new tools, and your mental wellness, your mental health is going to thank you for your whole body, because it's all underneath our physical health too. Everything's all included.
Absolutely. Thank you again. I know I keep starting a new conversation.
What's your question? You have another one?
We can go on and on and on. I'll definitely have you back, because I know we focus a lot on the holidays, but there it's a broader conversation about destigmatizing mental health.
It is. Yes. Right?
It's a broader conversation, and we really need to destigmatize, basically, just really make it so that it's not a therapy is not a bad word. And I am not ashamed about therapy. You know,
even the therapist has a therapist, you know, so, and they know how you feel. So if you're scared about reaching out, so if there's someone who's sitting here like, do I need a therapist? You know, how is that going to be beneficial? Know that your therapist has been through their own therapy. So right. they know that those feelings of anxiety, those fear of like, well, are they going to judge me? Nope. Your therapist is not going to judge you. Yeah. They have tools waiting for you. So yeah, really breaking it down. One of the things that I say too, and I know we kind of talked about it in our conversation, then you're going to let me go, is like finding a therapist too, because we talked about like finding a good match.
Right. Like, yes.
It's almost like finding the perfect pair of black pumps. Right. So, okay, how long do I need them? You know, is it affordability?
Yeah.
Do I have some recommendations? Where do I go and get them? You know, where's this best pair? So it's really that too. So this therapist, are they licensed in my area? Right. Mm-hmm. Can I get to them? Mm-hmm. Do they offer online? Do I have mm-hmm. to go to their office? Mm-hmm. What treatment modalities do they use? Is that mm-hmm. something I want? Is it cognitive behavioral therapy, psychoanalysis, solution focus? So all of those are good things in terms of talking about matching, you right. know, with a therapist. Attending at least 3 or 4 sessions before you make a decision about if this is a good decision or not.
Right.
And sometimes it's just not going to feel good, right?
Right.
And knowing that it's a conversation that with your therapist that you're going to stretch and you're going to grow. And sometimes we know that stretching doesn't feel good. We wake up the next day and we're sore. And so sometimes it's going to be there, but those are things that you can think about that next week or that next session. It's going to be addressed and you can talk about that with your therapist.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank for real this time we're going. For real this time we're going.
Yes, but if you have any additional questions, email me and I would love to answer them.
And that's for anyone who if we didn't answer any questions that you guys had, definitely email that in and we will have all of the socials and how to get in touch. Shayla, thank you so much for joining us. Oh, this was really awesome. And for our Bench Talk listeners and new existing listeners and new listeners, thank you for joining. The conversations just get better and better and better. I can guarantee you this is not going to be the last conversation under the umbrella of mental health. Mm-hmm. Not at all, because number one, it pretty much controls your day-to-day, and day-to-day a lot is your career, right? So this is not the last conversation of that. Shayla, thank you for joining us. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for those who are watching our back and forth here, watching our video. We will try to keep this, you know, this momentum going with doing video. For me, it's new. I know it's not for anybody else, but you know, for me, this is new, getting made up and being in front of the camera and not in my PJs talking behind the screen. So again, thank you guys for listening. Thank you for listening to this episode of Bench Talk. See you later. Thanks, Shayla.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Bench Talk. Be sure to catch up on previous episodes at benchtalk.net. This is Jackie Mitchell, your career consultant. Be sure to follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Jackie Mitchell CC. And on Twitter, Jackie Mitch, that's Jackie M-I-T-C-H-C-C. Thank you, guys.